This is a reading of The Origin Scroll, Volume 1 of the Tarka Trilogy, by Richard S. Tuttle. Chapter 12, Kantor. The Red Sword started firing in concert at the charging Yaki. All of a sudden, there was a tremendous flash of light at the mouth of the canyon. A gust of wind slammed into the Yaki and hurled them against the cliffs as if a large invisible hand had slapped them. The sound echoing off the steep canyon walls was deafening. The force of the wind knocked Alex and the other Red Swords down, and Alex jumped to his feet. Some of the previously airborne Yaki were starting to stir, and Alex tore into them with his sword. Other members of the Red Swords were doing the same. Within moments, the Yaki had been dispatched, and Alex looked around the canyon. Goblin bodies littered the mouth of the canyon, many of them burned severely. He cautiously walked to the mouth of the canyon and peered out. There was nothing alive in the vicinity of the canyon, but in the distance he could see several bands of goblins coming towards him. Alex called to the others and started gathering up all the quivers he could find. They had to move quickly and get up into the mountains before the next set of goblins arrived. Alex wondered what had happened. He knew that he was going to die when the Yaki charged, then instantly it was over. Alex started scrambling south along the base of the mountains. The other Red Swords were close behind. "Hurry, Alex," called Fergie. "Find us a way up, quick." Alex heard a voice in his head. "Turn into the next canyon, Alex." Alex obeyed, but he wasn't sure what was going on. This canyon looked like another dead end. Perhaps the force wave had damaged his mind. He might be going crazy. He was about to retrace his steps out of the canyon when he noticed a crevice that angled up and back. It was narrow, but worth a chance investigation. He slipped and cursed his bad luck. The others were shouting for him to come back down. His mind spoke again. "Concentrate. Never doubt your abilities." Alex called for his friends to follow him. The goblins were closing in on them now. They had just moments to get into a defensive position, and Alex was leading them up this crevice. The goblin archers would pick them off before they ever got to safety. Alex reached a plateau and crawled onto it. He watched the others scrambling to get up before the goblins could take aim. Mitar joined Alex on the plateau, then David, but Fergie was not going to make it. Alex watched as the goblin archer pulled back his bow and then disappeared in a ball of flame. Fergie scrambled onto the plateau, and Alex turned around and stared into the face of Geneva. "Move out of the way," she commanded. Alex and the others scooted further along the ledge, and Geneva brought her two hands together. As her hands touched each other, the crevice that the goblins were climbing crumbled from both sides. The goblins and rocks joined together and slid down into the canyon in a tangled heap of stone, blood, and bones. Geneva turned and ordered, "Quickly, follow me." She led them off the ledge to another crevice, and the five of them scrambled up to a large flat area where they could rest. "Geneva?" asked Alex. "Can this really be you?"
"Alex, I'm flattered that you remember me, but now is not the time for questions. You seem to have attracted some unwanted attention. I suggest that you get your breath, and then we get out of here. After you and your friends are safe, we can talk privately."
They started climbing the mountains. The Red Swords kept pestering Alex for some answers, but he just shrugged or said that she was an old friend. They climbed all day with only a few stops to catch their breath. Each time they stopped, Alex tried to talk with Geneva, but she always seemed to disappear, only to return and urge them onward. They finally reached a small valley between the two peaks, where they could have a fire without it being seen from below. They had heard no sounds of goblins following them. Fergie ordered David and Mitar to get a fire going and pulled Alex aside.
"I am extremely grateful for the help from your friend, but I have to know who she is. The information that we have must get back to Tagaret, and I cannot chance the possibility that your friend might have other ideas."
Alex nodded and went off to find Geneva. He found her down the valley sitting under a small tree. He walked over and sat beside her.
"Geneva, I am so glad to see you. I have so much to ask you, but I cannot fathom what you did back there. How can you do these things?"
Geneva put her hand to his lips to silence him, and then she hugged him. They embraced for a long time, and finally Geneva drew back. "Alex, I have thought of you often. I don't know where to begin or how much is safe for you to know. Let's just say that I have abilities that I never knew about, and that I have spent the last 5 years developing those abilities. It's not really safe to go into further detail."
"That's it? You can wipe 5 years out with a mere sentence? I met a lovely young girl, and 5 years later I meet her again and she's blowing up mountains, but she hasn't done anything really in between. Geneva, you should know that I would never harm you."
"Alex," she laughed, "I am not worried about you harming me, and yes, I know that you wouldn't. At first I was worried that your friends would try something, but then I realized that if you considered them friends, I must also.
Alex, it is very complicated, and you must give me time to think about it. When I came out here, you were the last person I expected to run into. Give me time. Tell me what you've been doing for the last 5 years."
Alex sighed. He knew that Geneva was strong-willed and would not say anything further unless she felt like it. He told her about everything that had happened to him over the years, up to the point of joining the Red Swords. He knew Fergie would not want him revealing the nature of their mission to someone who wouldn't reveal why she was up here, where only goblins seemed to exist. He suggested that they go back and join the others. They went back to the camp, and Fergie came over to meet them.
"I believe you two must know each other. I'm Sergeant Ferguson, and I want to thank you for your help with those nasty critters."
"Sergeant, I am pleased to meet friends of Alex, and welcome you as my own. I am called Geneva."
"Well then, Geneva, I'd like to ask you about how you accomplished that little feat of engineering back there. I assume you are also responsible for that little helpful explosion in the canyon?"
Geneva laughed heartily.
"Sergeant, I'm not really sure what you mean. I just happened along and showed you the way up into these mountains."
"I'm sure, ma'am. Do you travel these beautiful lands often?"
Geneva thought for a while without answering. Alex had given in and respected her secrecy. He didn't like it, but he accepted it. This sergeant was another matter. He had a job to do and the discipline to do it. He had never known the sweet little Geneva, and he wasn't going to accept her avoidance of the issue. They were both after the same thing, pretty much, and she needed to help the army defeat the goblins. But she wasn't sure how much information she could afford to release. Finally, she said,
"Sergeant, you're up here to determine the strength of the enemy. I can help you with that task. I can also assure you that we have common enemies. I will not betray you to the goblins. If I wanted to do that, I could have merely ignored the happenings below. I have reasons of my own that limit what I may tell you. If you can respect my silence in certain areas, I can help you get out of here alive. I can also help your army defeat these beasts."
"Oh, I'm not worried about the goblins. They won't follow us any further. But how do I know you don't work for a foreign government that means the kingdom harm?"
"You only have my word, Sergeant. I am Targan, and my reason for being in this beautiful country, as you put it, is to help Targa."
"And how might a fair lass such as yourself help Targa by roaming through the goblin bands?"
"Sergeant, I am searching for the source of the problem. The goblins are more a worry for the army than me. The source of the problem is more of a worry for me than for the army. Why can't we just work together and trust each other?"
"You know who is behind the goblins?" asked Fergie.
"Yes, I know who, but not where. The same person who directed the Yaki 5 years ago is directing the goblins. He is an evil magician named Sarek, and I must find him."
"Then the Cordonians have nothing to do with this?"
"Nothing at all.
I cannot tell you why Sarek is doing this, but I know for certain that he is. And Sergeant, you must be careful who you share this information with. He has spies everywhere, and if he finds out that he is discovered, I will never find him.
That is one of the reasons that I must be cautious. Sarek does not know that I am searching for him, and he must not know."
"Geneva, I do think that I am beginning to understand. I can't pretend to know the ways of magic, and in that area I am willing to defer to your judgment. But I have to report what I know to my superiors. Would you consider coming with us to Taggart to speak to them yourself? And for the gods' sakes, lass, please call me Fergie.
Geneva smiled. Fergie, I think that is an excellent idea. My search for Sarek has not been very successful, and part of my mission is to help the army defeat the goblins. I sense in you a kindred spirit. I am not sure of your superiors, or even the two who accompany you, so you will have to guide me in that area.
David and Mitar, I trust with my life, as I also trust Colonel Gregor. Above the colonel are General Clark, Duke Nelson, and King Eugene. I cannot imagine the king as a threat, but I will let you judge the other two for yourself.
That I can accept. Perhaps, then, I should meet your friends, as we'll be spending a great deal of time together.
Alex introduced Geneva to David and Mitar, and the five talked over dinner. There was no mention of magic or Sarek. Alex and Geneva went off by themselves after dinner and talked. Geneva still refused to discuss anything about herself since Hazra's death, but she talked about her childhood, and he went into greater detail about his trip to Bordone and the founding of Lavenda. It took them a week to cross the West Mountains, with Geneva leading the way. Alex had never traveled this far, and no longer possessed knowledge of the land. One morning, Geneva brought common Cordonian clothes for the soldiers to wear. No one asked where they had come from, but it was obvious that they could not enter the Cordonian capital with Targan military uniforms. They finally reached the headwaters of the Black River and followed it west. Their detour through Cordonia was eating up valuable time, and Fergie was getting nervous that the army would not have time to prepare for the large number of goblins they would be facing. Finally, the Black River widened and was flowing, so they took the time to build a raft. The raft sped their journey along, but they knew at the end of it they would wind up in Cantor, the capital of Cordonia, far away from Targa. When they got to Cantor, they would try to find a boat to get to Targa. Cantor was a very large city, larger than Calamar, Alex realized. They abandoned the raft at the outskirts of the city. Everyone agreed that the first stop should be an inn. They needed a decent meal, a bath, and a soft bed for the night. Geneva was up early and went shopping in the marketplace. Fergie went out looking for a ship. Fergie was the only one of the Red Swords who had a working knowledge of the Cordonian language. Alex, Mitar, and David relaxed over a large breakfast. They wanted to get out and see the city, but Fergie told them to stay at the inn and be ready to leave on a moment's notice. Geneva came back with a large chest she must have purchased at the marketplace. Fergie finally came back with the news that there were no ships bound for Targa for at least a week. Even if they could buy horses, it would take over 2 weeks to reach Calamar, with no guarantee that there would be a ship leaving from there. There was little they could do but wait, and they decided they might as well see the city while they were waiting. As they walked through the harbor area, Alex noticed a new ship, smaller than the rest. What caught his eyes were the words Dalek Shipping on the stern. He ran to the ship and up the gangplank. A sailor stopped him at the deck and asked his business. He said he was a personal friend of Oscar Dalek and needed passage for Targa. The sailor would not let him on the ship, but asked for his name and the name of the inn he was staying at. The sailor said someone would contact him. Alice could get no more out of the sailor and returned to his friends. Excitedly, he told them of the ship, and they agreed to return to the inn and wait. Mitar was left behind to watch the ship in case they decided to set sail without them. If that happened, Fergie was prepared to force their way aboard. 3 hours later, Alex nearly dropped his cup when Oscar walked into the inn.
Oscar Dalek! I can't believe it!
Alex Tork! I thought it was someone's idea of a joke. What are you doing in Cantor? Don't tell me you mistook Cantor for Lavenda. Let me guess, you finally got married, and this is your wife. The two old friends embraced. Alex invited Oscar to sit and lowered his voice. They were starting to attract attention, and notice was one thing they didn't want. Alex introduced his Red Sword companions without their titles, and then introduced Geneva.
So I am right. You did get married. She's the only woman I've ever heard you mention, quipped Oscar.
Alex turned beet red, and Geneva giggled.
Oscar, I didn't get married, and I'm not on my honeymoon. Now cut it out, or I'll tell all these people what you're really like.
You win, Alex. I'll be good, but I still think it's a fair idea.
Listen, Oscar, we need to get to Tagaret quickly. It's a very important matter that I shouldn't discuss here.
Oscar took a new look at Alex's companions. He noticed the distinctly short military hair, calluses, and their erect posture.
Does this pertain to cave friends from 5 years ago that may be coming to visit again this year?
Yes, it does, answered Alex. I've changed jobs and live in Tagaret now.
Say no more, my friend, Oscar said loudly. My ship is available for your honeymoon cruise. We depart immediately. Let's go.
They gathered their belongings and headed for the harbor. Oscar led the way up the gangplank and gave the orders to get underway. Nothing was said until they were well underway.
Okay, Alex. Explain what's happening.
Alex reintroduced his Red Sword companions and explained that he was also a Red Sword. Despite Fergie's concerned eyes, Alex explained about the goblins and the need to get the Tagaret and report. He did not mention Sarek or Geneva's abilities.
When Oscar asked about Geneva, Fergie said that they met in Kantor, causing Oscar's ring to warm his hand.
Geneva was immediately alerted. She had picked up the vibrations from Oscar's ring. She was filtering for transportation spells, but her proximity to Oscar must have triggered her senses.
Oscar, Alex told me about your wonderful adventures in Bordeaux. I almost feel like I've known you for years. That's a beautiful ring you're wearing. May I ask where you've got it? Asked Geneva.
She had to distract Oscar so that he didn't discover the information about Sarek until she knew more about him. Alex had a good sense about people, but it had been close to 5 years since Alex had known Oscar, and Geneva could not afford to take chances. He wasn't sure why, but Oscar knew that Geneva was aware of the ring's special capabilities.
I got it from a courier passing through town. It was payment for watching his horse.
Geneva mumbled something that Oscar did not quite get.
I'm sorry, Geneva, I didn't hear that.
Oh, sorry, Oscar. I said it must have been a beautiful horse.
Actually, it was. A large black stallion called Cauldron.
Geneva had invoked Lothar's tongue. The spell was a verbal deception spell. Anything she said, whether true or false, would not set off Oscar's ring.
Geneva smiled and allowed the conversation to return to Alex.
Oscar knew enough about people to suspect that there was something he was missing. He would have to be cautious around her.
Alex and Oscar had a lot of time to renew their old friendship.
Alex thanked Oscar for the horses and congratulated him on his financial success.
Oscar was impressed that Alex had joined the Red Swords and thought it had been a wise decision on the Colonel's part.
Geneva joined most of the conversations, and Oscar soon forgot his earlier uneasiness. Fergie had started up the practice sessions again, and even Oscar joined in. Oscar was no match for the Red Swords, but the practice did improve his skills.
Geneva spent a lot of time up in the bow. She did exercises and was constantly playing in the chest she purchased in Kantor. One day when she was at the bow exercising, Oscar pulled Alex aside.
Alex, how much do you really know about Geneva?
I don't know a great deal, Oscar, but I know she's a good woman. She is strange, and I have felt the tensions between the two of you, but I get a good feeling about her. I trust her.
I wish I could share your trust, Alex. Something I've never told anyone, and I mean anyone, is about my ring. The story I told about it is true enough, but what I didn't say is that it has magical powers. It warms my finger whenever anyone lies. It has been a great tool in dealing with people. It has helped me avoid getting cheated several times. When I asked you about Geneva, Fergie cut in and said that you had met her in Kantor. My ring told me that was a lie. Not a big deal in itself, but Geneva knew right then that the ring was magical. She didn't say so, but I know it.
She also keeps prodding me for information on the guy that gave it to me. All of this adds up to someone who's not being honest with me. I haven't said anything or brushed her off because she's a friend of yours, but I don't trust her.
Oscar, trust her. I don't know why I do, but I feel that you should too. She has been very secretive since we met, but I don't think she wants to be. I think she has knowledge of something that is so important that she is afraid to let it leak out. I don't think it's a matter of whether she trusts us or not. I think it is more a fear that whoever she shares the information with will be in danger.
And she is better equipped to deal with the danger than you are?
I think she is.
Then she does have powers. I knew it.
Oscar turned and walked towards the bow of the ship, with Alex close behind. Geneva saw them coming and quickly closed the chest.
Another secret, Geneva? Asked Oscar.
Look, it's time we started trusting each other a little here.
Alex has absolute trust in you, and I trust Alex. So that's supposed to mean that I can trust you, but I don't feel that way.
I think it's because you don't trust me. One of us has to give, so I'll go first.
Oscar removed his ring and put it on Geneva's finger.
Now, what is it that you want to know of me?
Geneva laughed and handed Oscar's ring back to him. I detected it the first day and protected myself against it.
Okay, Oscar, you have a good point. I do trust Alex, and he does trust you, so we'll stop playing games. Yes, I have powers. I am not even sure of the extent of them. I met Alex and the Red Swords in the West Mountains while looking for someone else. I think the person that I'm searching for gave you that ring. He is a master of magic, and I need to know everything about him that I can find out. I also cannot let him know that I even exist. If he discovers me before I discover him, I will die, and perhaps the kingdom will as well. So now, Oscar, my life is in your hands. I cannot give you any more trust than that.
I have many contacts. Perhaps I can help you locate him, ventured Oscar.
No. Please do not act on this information, Oscar. He is more powerful than you can imagine. Your ring is but a toy to him. Truth and lies don't matter. He can tap into your very mind and extract what he wants. Do not pursue him. Avoid contact with him. You must promise me.
Oscar could not imagine anyone with that kind of power. But suddenly unspoken words filled his mind.
Promise me, Oscar. You must promise. I don't have his skill, yet you are no match.
Oscar blinked in amazement.
I promise, Geneva, answered Oscar. I have much to learn. I thought I knew a lot, but I can see that I have barely touched the surface of knowledge.
How did you do that?
Geneva just smiled. Alex wasn't sure what had transpired, but he was glad to see everyone happy together. Geneva opened her chest and presented a sword to Alex. The sword was very old and very expensive. It had a jeweled handle and delicate gold scrolling.
Alex, I want you to have this. Carry it with you always. This is not an ornamental piece for over your fireplace. It is a weapon of destruction. Never let it leave your side.
She removed several jars from the chest and laid them on the deck.
These jars contain a concoction called fire glue that will burst into flame on impact with something. The fire it starts cannot be put out by water. It will burn until it consumes whatever it is attached to. It doesn't take very much of it to do the job. Break the tip off an arrow and dip the arrow in the jar, and then fire it into the sea.
Alex complied. The arrow hit the water and went under. When the arrow floated to the surface, it was burning. It continued burning until it was out of sight.
Keep these jars safe. When we get to Tagaret, I will give the formula to the royal magician. He can create supplies for the army to use against the goblins.
That night they got hit with a squall, one of those winter storms fairly common on the Targa Sea. Unfortunately, they were pushed way south of their course. They also lost their fresh water barrels. The course correction had not been much of a problem. Oscar had hired the best sea captain there was. They had to get water, though, and he would have to talk with Captain Hill. Oscar went to the helm.
The wind was still fairly strong and was blowing the captain's black hair over his handsome face, giving him a very rugged sailor's appearance.
"Raymond, we've lost our fresh water supply during the squall. We're going to need to replenish. Have you fixed our location yet?"
"Not a problem, sir. That spit of land off the starboard beam is the northernmost isles of the sea. I'll have us at the island in no time."
They made the island in good time and anchored in a place the chart called Attar's Cove. Fergie, Alex, and Geneva went ashore in the dinghy, towing two water barrels. The island appeared to be uninhabited. The beach was a beautiful white strand that curved around the harbor. They crossed the beach and entered the jungle. A monkey swung down and startled Geneva and then scampered off.
"I'll be tarned," said Fergie. "That's a lemur. I haven't seen one of those since I was on the Isle of Gracchus. Thought they was the only place that had them."
They split up and searched for a lake or stream. Geneva saw a hut through the trees and made her way towards it. The path was anything but straight, and when Geneva reached the clearing she had seen the hut in, it was gone. She figured that she must be in the wrong clearing and started searching for the hut. When she went across the clearing, a tiger jumped out of the woods and sat in the path. She had no desire to harm the animal, but she also did not want it to harm her. She backed up slowly. Suddenly, Fergie called out that he had found water. Geneva backed into the woods and ran to the beach. Alex and Fergie already had the two barrels full and reattached to the dinghy. They climbed in and headed back to the ship. Geneva stared at the strange island and saw a camel come around the point and walk along the beach. They raised anchor and the captain set sail for Dalek. They had just left the harbor when they spotted a ship bearing down on them. Being in the lee of the island, Captain Hill did not yet have full sail, and water to the port was too shallow to maneuver.
"They're going to try to ram us," shouted the captain. "It must be a black ship after our cargo."
"Can't we outrun them?" Oscar asked.
"We could if we had sail and they were behind us," answered the captain. "They mean to split us in two, and then land on the beach and loot our cargo. If I try to maneuver, they will just sink us in deeper water."